Our scripture this morning, it comes from Proverbs 29, verse 18. When there's no vision, the people get out of control, but whoever obeys instruction is happy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So for at least the last two decades, the secular world and the religious world have spent time making vision and mission statements. This has happened in Methodist churches all around the world, I am sure. They gather together in a committee, in a room somewhere, and talk about what is the mission and the vision of the church. And we too, sometime in this time period, gathered in a room and decided what the mission and vision of Forest Hill would be. It's printed on your bulletin every week. We really hope that you know what it is. We try really hard to put it in ways that you know what our mission and our vision is. In fact, these green t-shirts on the back of them have our mission and vision in picture form. So let's see if we know it. The mission of Forest Hill is to love God, to grow in faith, and to serve others near and far. That's important. It's important that we know who we are so we know where we're going. Many of you probably don't get in your car and crank it up and head out of the driveway unless you know where you're going. That seems pretty obvious, right? But sometimes in life, we don't have a vision for where we're headed. And we are in the middle of a sermon series called Agents of Change. If we're going to be agents of change in the world, it is important that we know what we want to change, that we see a vision of what is better than the current reality. We do this in two ways, I believe. I think we have a personal vision in our life. That's something that we probably don't think very much about. But last week we talked about that we are gifted and graced and that God wants us to claim our strengths. And so when we claim those strengths and we pair them with our call from God, and so the first time I ever heard that word call from God, I was probably like 10 and I was like, oh my goodness, God uses a telephone? Not like that, but how God creates passion in our hearts for things that when we live out in the world. So when we take the ways that God has blessed us, gifted us, and graced us, and we pair that with the passion in our hearts, then we come up with a way in which we can live out a vision of our life in the world. The way I came to think about this is I was in a church early in ministry and we were doing great. Like everything was going good and everything was going really fast. And I just was thinking, I don't know what the next step is. Like I'm just trying to hold on. Perhaps I should ask God where we should be going. And so I spent time in prayer thinking about how to be a good leader for the church and how we could find our vision for what the next part of our future looked like together. And somehow in that process, I realized that I needed that for my own life. I needed to claim my strengths, and I needed to pair them with my calling so that I could live in a way that brought glory and honor to God. And so after some time, this is what I came up with, that the vision for my life's work is to encourage, equip, and empower people to love God and to make more disciples. So I will be very honest with you and say, my purpose in life that I believe that I am supposed to be doing is equipping and encouraging and empowering you to love God and to make more disciples. And see, I can live this out in many ways. It's not too broad that I don't know what I need to be doing, and it's not too constrictive that I have to do something specific. Right now, I'm living this out by being a pastor at Forest Hill. But I may have to be a pastor somewhere else. Or I may go back to school and be a professor because that's my lifelong dream that will probably never happen. I might live this out in corporate America. I might take up farming and live this out as a farmer. You see, this vision for my life doesn't mean that it's my vocation necessarily, but the way in which I come about life. I think that is really important because when I go into a situation, if I know how God's gifted and graced me, and I know how God has called me, I know how to best work in any situation. I can make a strategic plan to help people love God and make more disciples because that is the vision that I have in my life. In the scripture in 1 Peter 4, it says this, "And serve each other according to the gift each person has received, as good managers of God's diverse gifts. Whoever speaks should do as those who speak God's word. Whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes." So I believe that it's never too late to understand in our life how our strengths and our gifts and our call works together so that we can be the very best follower of Christ that we can be. The goal of our personal vision is that we live out our gifts and our talents and our calling to our highest potential. Now, when we think about that and we understand that, we understand that we're not just people in isolation, but that we are connected together. We have communal living. This week, this was so very clear to me. So I'm watching, when we finally got pictures of Puerto Rico, I'm watching it on the news, as many of you did, and we're seeing the devastation and understanding that we have Latino ministry, which is happening right now, and there are people there who had not at that point heard from their family. And so I am watching this devastating thing that feels like it's happening a long way away, and I am loving people who have not heard from their family yet. And I realize how very interconnected we are. We are all part of one human family. And it seems like over these last few months, we have seen that more and more, at least I have seen that more and more, that we are connected together. So when we understand that we're connected together and we're people who love God and who live transformed by the Holy Spirit, and we understand that we are all God's children, that it is our inclination to want to lift others up. We want people to have the very best because God wants the very best for us and God wants the very best for others. So it makes sense that we want the very best for others. When we're living in that connected way, it changes the way we see things. It changes our vision. In Jeremiah 29, there's a verse that we hear a lot. I don't know if you, I know you know this verse. It's the one that says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans to give you a future with hope." Well, if you go back three verses before that, in Jeremiah 29:7, there's another verse, and this is what it says. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." So the prophet is talking on behalf of God to the people in exile, and he's saying, you're not going home, so do the best where you are. He's saying this place where you are living, make it the very best place it can possibly be because it affects you. You see, this place, we're not in exile. Concord is not exile in any way. We chose to be here and we call this place home, but the scripture still speaks to us. We are to make this place the very best place that we can because in it, in Concord, in North Carolina, in the United States, and even in the world, our welfare is tied in to the welfare of others. So our welfare is tied into it, and we should want to lift others up because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. So when we think about that and we begin to look at it, well, if I love you with the love of God, I don't want you to be hungry. I want you to have clean water. I want you to have shelter. I want you to have your needs met. I want you to have health care. I want you to have stability in your life. I want you to be supported. You see? And then we begin to see what the vision of the kingdom of God looks like. So when we begin to engage all these things together, then we have to make a decision. Are we going to be people of change? Because people of change envision a better future, and they work toward that to make active steps to make a positive influence in the world. Now, if we don't ever think about how we're connected or think about lifting others up, then we're never going to get to the place where we can have a bigger vision of a better future. But I believe that as Christians, those are things that we should be thinking about. It looks a little different for all of us. And really and truly, it's a complex thing. I know over the last few weeks of all this natural disaster and destruction, I felt a little helpless. I felt like it is so big and it keeps going, and it's been hard to envision how I need to be at work in this situation. But this week, I had an interesting opportunity to do that. So we collected on last minute kind of notice, we were able to collect some supplies that need to go to Puerto Rico this week. So I was buying toothbrushes and toothpaste. And I am standing there buying toothbrushes and toothpaste, and I am thinking, I am envisioning a world where somebody has a toothbrush and toothpaste. So that doesn't feel huge, right? But how huge does it feel if you don't have a toothbrush because you've lost everything that you have and somebody sends you a toothbrush and toothpaste? It means somebody's thinking about me. It means somebody cares about my basic needs. And hopefully it means that they will see the love of God that came from Forest Hill. I'm not going to change the world with a toothbrush and toothpaste. But I got to start somewhere. I got to do something. I need to make a decision. So I am envisioning people in Puerto Rico with a toothbrush and toothpaste. That doesn't feel huge. But if you don't have that, it is. We can't be everything to everybody, but we can be some wonderful things to some people, but we have to make that decision. We can sit here and think about it, but until we make that decision to live out a vision with strategic steps, we won't be agents of change. So this year is our year of serve at Forest Hill. So Suzanne and I and the mission committee have really been intentional about thinking about the things that we do well at Forest Hill. We've been intentional about equipping you to jump in and get involved. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have had something you can do every month this year. This month, I feel like we have 10 things that you could jump into. But we're doing that because we want to give you the opportunity to envision a world that is better than it is now and make strategic steps to join the effort to bring about change in the world. We want you to be agents of change. We want to empower you to make choices so that the world can be better, so that the kingdom of God can be revealed. Our kingdom vision, it meets the needs of others and hopefully shares the love of God in ways that are concrete and tangible many times. If we don't have that vision, if we don't know what the preferred future looks like, we're never going to get there. You can choose to have that vision or not. There are many people that go through life that don't have a preferred vision of the future. But I don't think that those people are agents of change. I believe the people who are agents of change for the glory of God have a vision, and they understand how to take steps to make that vision a reality. To be agents of change, we have to envision a future that is better than our reality and live it out in our personal and our communal lives together. We need to choose to actively work toward that vision. So what does that mean for us sitting here on Sunday morning? Because I always want you to be challenged to do something. So it means that you have a responsibility to figure out what that looks like for you, to figure out how God has created passion in your heart and gifted you and graced you and set you in the world to be an agent of change. It means that you need to figure out how you can envision the world better than it is and make concrete steps to do that. It's not going to look the same for any of us. We are all different and we are all unique. But together, I'm sure that we can find ways to live out vision that changes the world in a communal way, because it is the gift of the church to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to bring about the kingdom of God. It is beautiful, but we choose to be a part of that. We choose if we are going to be agents of change. I want to read to you a verse from Matthew 5, and it's kind of what I've thought a lot about as I've gone through this series, and you've heard it a couple times already, but it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they may see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven." We have a beautiful light, and we can choose to use that light to be agents of change in the world. I ask you to envision a future that is better than reality. That shouldn't be hard, folks. Really, shouldn't be hard. To envision a future that's better than the reality, and then make steps toward that so that you will be an agent of change for the glory of God. Amen.